Okay, so I, we're gonna reconvene, or actually transition into our regular meeting at 7 o'clock. It's 7, you said 27?
Mm-hmm.
So that's item 4. Item 5, community communication. Does anybody wish to be heard? No? Okay. Item 6, board member committee reports. Item A, financial liaison audit committee. Item B, permanent improvement committee. And item C, board policy committee. So financial liaison, anything?
Nothing for me.
Okay, permanent improvement? No?
Haven't met.
Board policy committee?
We met with Joelle and we went through the policies, and this is, tonight is gonna be second meeting.
Okay. And then Jeff, you had removed, I saw the one was separated, the board on the finance committee, is that what it was? That you and I talked about, the reconvening of a finance committee, do you remember us talking about that?
Talked about it in our board, pre-board agenda meeting, just reconvening, absolutely.
Okay.
But have not, we've not had a finance committee meeting. It's just, I was talking about more of the plans for the new year and what we should be doing.
Okay.
More readily.
Okay, so that's it. Item 7, district committee reports. We have A, transportation appeals committee. I don't even have to answer that one, I don't think, okay. B, Cahoga Valley Career Center report. Mr. Gilbride is not here today. Item C, safety and security meeting report. Is there anything? You're meeting in August, is that correct, again?
Yep.
Okay, great, thank you. Item D, school foundations report. No? I saw Mrs. Nubia Martin.
Yeah.
Will no longer be our secretary for foundations, possibly because of a conflict of interest, maybe?
Not actually, she's going to school in the fall.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and they're working on their processes, so it's good things. Item D, school foundations report. I already did that. E, PSO report.
I met with the PSO council, and we've developed a policy on PSO use of social media.
Okay.
I haven't got the final copy yet, but I think it's something that they very enthusiastically and very lengthily got into and put something together I think we can be proud of.
So just to remind everybody, that was originally something that we had talked about, and then I asked Fred to kind of take that over, and Joelle's already part of that. So, and according to Joelle, they just kind of took the lead and
they did.
Went with it, and it looks like that people will have till November, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then they're going to remove everybody from the social media site, and then people will rejoin, and there will be a level of expectation that's translated.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank you both for working on
that. They did the work.
Thank you.
It's the Hawthorne effect. If you're not looking, the work doesn't get done.
Well, they did the work, and they did good work.
Okay, that's great. Item F, other board member reports. You sent me the legislative report and kind of got caught up, so I'm going to have to pass on that unless something sticks out to you that you would be willing to share.
It's not any one particular thing, but there's a lot of things that are trying to be pushed through right now in terms of report card bills, some of the deregulation bills, and so they are scrambling. The House has kind of been a mess without a speaker for the last couple of months, and so they finally went through a four-step process to identify a speaker. The speaker won by only the one vote needed to win that majority, and so now they're kind of backpedaling because there was a lot of things while they were trying to get a speaker that the Senate had already put in, so now the House is trying to catch up to get some of these bills. So some of the education, there's been a lot of things that have gone through, not specifically for education. Right now, the House Bill 591, which is the report card bill and getting rid of the grades, the actual letter grades, is a hot topic right now.
You mean the overall grades?
The overall grades, as well as some of the component areas, to get rid of that. And then House Bill 216, which is a lot of the deregulation bill that talks about teacher evaluation and some of the items that we have here more near and dear to our hearts, that is being considered. None, though, no one's saying for sure if it's going to get through before summer recess, so we're just going to keep our fingers crossed and watch it.
Do you think most likely we will have a complete composite grade for our district?
I think based on the timing, the email that I received today, you know, right now they're looking to go forward. They asked us to contact our state rep to make it, because it was sent back to committee, and they want it to come out of committee so that they can take a vote on it. And so we're just going to have to see if we can put enough pressure to get it back out of committee so that they can take a vote on it. If they don't vote on it, yes, because that is when the original law stated that we would get an overall grade, with starting with this 2018 school year. So remains to be seen.
And it hurts a lot, you know, just to clarify, it hurts a lot of districts that overall grade is not, it's misleading. And, you know, with a lot of people not plugged in, your school gets a D or an F overall grade. You know, it's, you're trying to pass money, and it's good luck. So.
Some of it's a movement, right? So if you're already near the top, you could get penalized for not being able to move enough of it.
That happens now outside of the letter grades.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's still there,
right,
but it can hurt some of the people that are at our end of the scholastic achievement scores,
absolutely,
if you will. You know.
The problem is, no one can explain how they're going to calculate the overall grade.
It's, you know, a mystery matrix.
It's not a straight, you know, 20%, 20%.
Yeah.
There's every category in the report card is weighted differently. So no one will, you know, when you ask how is this being calculated, there's really not a good answer. So we're not sure what the grade represents, which is also misleading, because how do you grade something that doesn't, you know, follow any natural formula? So we'll see what happens.
Thank you for doing that.
Item 8, other board business. A, resolve to approve the new revised board policies listed below as presented at the May 21, 2018 board meeting. This is our second reading. We have 2271 College Credit Plus program, and please refer to your binders with more explanation for that. Item 2, use of tobacco by professional staff. Item 3, criminal history record check. 4, we have 4162, drug and alcohol testing of CDL license holders and other employees who perform safety-sensitive functions. Number 5, we have 4215, the use of tobacco by classified staff. 6, 5111, eligibility of residents and non-resident students. 7, 5112, entrance requirements. 8, 5512, use of tobacco. And then we have 9, 7434, use of tobacco on school property. 10, 7530, lending of board-owned equipment. 11, 7530.02, staff use of personal communication devices. And there's an asterisk next to that. 12, 7542, access to district technology resources and or information resources from personal communication devices. Item 13, 7543, utilization of the district's website and remote access to the district's network. 14, 8600.04, bus driver certification. 15, 9141, business advisory council. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions before we complete these policies?
I'll just comment, because I don't think there's actually a cap of section today, but anyway, the tobacco policies that we're approving are very helpful, both in supporting grants that we currently have, as well as going forward and getting additional grants for our Kappa group to use here in our school district, and, you know, probably Heights and Brexville both, and we're networked with other people. So this actually is a very helpful, the policy makes sense as well, but the fact that we're complying with suggested language and things that, you know, came from the state is very helpful to our efforts in acquiring more money, so you should know that.
And I just had a question about the asterisk next to staff use of personal communication devices. What is the policy to how does that work?
Shouldn't that be
that? It would be a new policy that was created, that NEOLA created to give some language around this. So it's not, so the new policy means it's new to us. It's not a revision of something that we've already had in place.
Okay.
So that was reviewed through the policy committee to determine when there are new policies, if it's not tied to a revised code, you can determine whether or not as a board you want to accept that policy or not accept the policy.
Well, in future, we'll have copies of the policy when we go to board docs. I see we don't have them in here, do we?
No.
No.
Okay.
But we had them last time.
We did have them last
time,
correct.
That's correct.
But it's hard for her to ask questions.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I'm just saying we have all seen them and had exposure.
And let's just make sure that every time that we have policies that we have copies of them.
Once we have board docs.
Yeah, once we have board docs. Okay, anything else? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 9, superintendent's announcements.
I just have one. I'd like to introduce this gentleman who might be a familiar face in the back. This is Brian Bedford. He is our new assistant principal at Central School. And we were very fortunate to, I'm going to use the word, steal him back from Hudson. He was taken from us, so we stole him back. And I don't know if you want to introduce yourself and say a few words about yourself.
Tell us how sorry you were you left us here. Yeah, it's okay.
Excited to return. Many of you already know this, but I was here for 6 years as a school counselor in high school. I left in spring 2013. Spent the last 5 years in Hudson, 4 years as a unit principal, 1 year as athletic director. So I'm coming back in a leadership capacity here to the district. So looking forward to it.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm very glad to have you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bedford.
And then just two other things that are in the works that I just want to make sure that everyone's aware and make sure that people get invited to. We decided at our last core meeting with the architects because, we want to make sure that we're giving people ample opportunity to interact with our architects and ample opportunity to be involved in educational visioning. So we are going to do a kind of like a meet the teacher, a meet the architects night, which is going to be either the week of August 20th or the 27th. I have to work with the mayors to see when they're available. But really to have people come in and they can talk, the architects will set up, kind of some pictures of things that they've built so people can interact and ask questions. And, just kind of so they can understand the process. So that'll be open to the public. And once we have the date, we'll solidify that. And then we are starting the educational visioning. The architect likes to have 100 people in this initial kind of educational visioning. And so it will be, we've come up with a date of September 18th. It's going to be from 9 to 3. Mayor Ruby has graciously allowed us to use the community center at no charge to us, and there'll be 100 people, kids, from parents, from staff members, to board members, to community members, all coming in and starting that educational visioning process. So it'll be an all-day event. So we're in the works of getting some of those things ready to go and involve people in some of this planning. So it'll be an exciting time here coming up here shortly in the fall.
Can I send you a name of somebody that you need to add to the list, please?
You did.
Yeah.
I got it. Thank
she
you.
She wanted to work with Mr. Pitt.
So is that a Saturday, I assume?
No. It's during a school day, so we're not going to take 100 kids out of school, but we'll provide a bus for the kids and take them over there, permission slips, the whole nine yards. And then for staff, because we know so far in advance, we'll identify that staff and ask them to put in for a sub and have a few subs. And then, your administrators, your parents will come. And so we want to give people enough notice so that they can plan on being there if they want to be there for that day.
Okay. News. Item 10, Superintendent's Consent Agenda. We have A, certified recommendations as seen in tab 1. Item B, classified recommendations, tab 2. Item C, supplemental recommendations, tab 3. And item D, we have resolved to approve the contractual services with Andrew Numbers to provide BTV coordination and related position responsibilities for the 2018-2019 school year as set forth in the attachment. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, explanation?
Any questions on any of the recommendations?
Does Mr. Number, does Andrew work with, so he works in the, with the students in the morning, who, is that what it says, the announcements? Does he run all that, or is he their supervisor?
He's not their direct supervisor, okay. No. He's an independent contractor that has done work for us for BTV and, you know, getting some of the video that runs at the high school and that kind of thing. And then he just bills us as we need him for services.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 11, Superintendent's Other Business. A, resolved that the board approve the proposal from Todd Associates, which, if, is there a copy? Yeah, it's in tab 5. Yep. Todd Associates for Great American Insurance Company, the Netherlands Insurance Company, Midwest Indemnity, and Travelers Casualty and Surety through the Ohio Schools Council for cyber liability, commercial property, commercial general liability, crime, excess crime, and then marine commercial. It sounds like a whole lot of insurance there. And commercial umbrella effective July 1st, 2018 to July 1st, 2019 in the amount of $149,012.50 as set forth in the attachment tab 5. I read that because Bonnie's listening to our tape, so I wanted to make sure that I did read that. B, J.C. Power Strategic Communication Agreement, August 1st, 2018 through July 31st, 2019, tab 6. Item C, 2018-2019 Suburban Transportation Company Incorporated Agreement, which is in tab 7. Item 11, Superintendent's Other Business. D, Educational Service Center of Northeast Ohio Agreement for Speech Language Pathologist Services, tab 8. E, agreement for consultation and support services from Positive Education Program, PEP, commencing August 2018 and ending June 2019, tab 9. F, 2018-2019 Cleveland Clinic Learner Center contract, tab 10. G, 2018-2019 textbook adoptions. We didn't get our big bundles, all right. Tab 11, we used to do that back in the day, we used to get all the textbooks. Item H, BBHS fees for 2018-2019, tab 12. I, PSO gifts and goals, 2017-2018, tab 13. J, 2018-2019, co-watch tuition, grade 10, class of 2021, tab 14. K, Dr. Pepper's Snapple Group, Incorporated Agreement for Beverage Vending Services, tab 15. L, 2018-2019 BBHS Handbook, tab 16. M, 2018-2019 BBHMS Handbook, tab 17. And 2018-2019 Central School Family Handbook, that's tab 18. And item O, 2018-2019 K-3 School Family Handbooks, tab 19. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So, any questions?
Any questions or just on any of the items that I can answer for you?
I would just like to thank you for changing the policy where we used to get textbooks.
You're welcome. They'd be delivered to our house, so we had to carry them back.
So we have copies, so if you ever want to look through them all, but it is a lot of money to purchase all those textbooks.
Yes, it made no sense. And I got an engineering degree and I got a math book and I said I can't do this stuff, so I really didn't.
I sold mine on Amazon and then I realized we had to return them.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, geez. Whoops.
Well, you'd find them in the closet. I was like, wait a minute, how we get this Chinese book? And yeah,
I did have one question. I didn't see if you had replied on the question about if the contract with JC Powers, if that changed at all. Was it, it looked like it was the same, but.
It was the same length. His fee went up slightly, but it's still less. Your explanation was spot on, so I kind of said, oh, that's the right answer. So I didn't respond back to everyone, but it's the same terms. He's going to be here. They did a really nice job for us this year, a lot of communication. We're at several of our events, and so his fee went up slightly, but it's still less than the cost that we were paying, you know, for our former.
So was the fee... Because from what I remember, the contract said it was a $5,000 per month retainer, but that didn't mean you were getting $5,000 of service every month. It depended. But
yeah,
was...
he So it's a monthly fee. It's a monthly fee, and it depends. The only thing that ran extra, and I think Jeff did a really nice job of giving you a breakdown of the monthly cost, and there was some difference in there. A couple of those costs were because we had to send something out. So for example, we didn't print our quality profile. Then as we got closer, we figured, you know, when we're looking at the bond, we might want to have that on hand. So that was an additional cost because they were sent out to be done professionally. And so those are some of the costs. So that is this monthly fee. But then if there's any of those additional costs that we would need for printing, that's why it's set up the way it is.
Okay.
And I noticed this is a 2-year contract, the new one. And is that, was the other one 2 years?
The other one was a 1 year.
Is everybody okay with going to 2 years from 1 year? It starts August 1st, 2018 until July 31st, 2020.
We have it wrong on the agenda then, because it said 19. That's why I'm answering this.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a 3-year.
What?
Was it 2 or 3?
Last year we gave them a 1 year.
No, I know last year, but what was... When the contract, the actual contract itself, I thought it was it a 2-year or 3-year? I thought it was, just maybe look at the contract and see.
Two-year.
Yeah,
yeah.
August
2018. Yeah, expires July 31st,
2020.
Is it the same? Is the July part the same?
Yes. Okay. It's just typo.
So we need to have a motion to amend item 11B to be August 1st, 2018 through July 31st, 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. I'm just writing feverishly here.
We're okay to just vote then, since we...
Right. Yeah, I'm just going to make sure I denote it correctly. So Mr. Peterson with the first, Mr. Dozen with the second, and if you're ready for roll call.
Okay. Roll call.
Great. Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 12, Treasurer Consent Agenda. A, BBHS and BBHMS, Pay to Participate Fees, 2018-2019. As seen in tab 20B, FY18 amended appropriations measure, tab 21, C, FY19 appropriations measure, tab 22, item D, financial report, May 2018, tab 23, and item E, minutes of the May 21st, 2018, June 7th, 2018, and June 11th, 2018 meetings in tab 24. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Great. Just to dive right in on pay to participate fees, clubs and sports. I know in our pre-agenda meeting, I think this one sheet kind of encapsulates the, actually Cindy Atkins, my student activities, I'll call her my expert, did a really nice job of actually explaining in the most miscellaneous portion of this spreadsheet of how these fees have changed. And there were several that were no changes, okay, and several and a few such as gymnastics that were, you know, that's a quite an expensive sport. It can be. The actual cost was around $886, and we actually, because we have a cap at the high school level, was capped at $500. So I could go down each one. I mean, some were $5, some were $20, $30, $50. I can tell you that the supporting documents behind this spreadsheet was very well thought. I know the major reason, if you look through each and every one, if I were to summarize, it was basically we had a change in the supplemental contracts. There was I believe a 2%, Brian, was it, or 2% increase this year? Or going into the new school year, there was a bit of a change in the supplemental. And again, and not to put you on the spot, but I figured I'm glad to have you here because, you know, who knows these contracts better than Brian in some of the changes that have occurred. You know, following last CBA, I believe. So that was part of the changes. So the costs have gone up. Transportation has gone up. Mr. Code took a very big interest in making sure that in partnering with determining these costs, we got a true transportation cost, because if we leave those on the table, you know, transportation gets hurt and we don't lease to get, and we're just looking for break even. This is not a for-profit thing. So salaries, fringe, transportation were the major reasons why these costs did go up across the board. And you know, if we look at the big sports, you know, I say the most, you know, heavily populated are, or you know, wrestling, football, basketball. You know, some of our newer sports can go right down the list. Again, there's too many to go through, so I want to be mindful of everybody's time and just point out the fact that if you have any specific questions about a specific sport, I'm happy to dive right in and kind of talk about, you know, why the change did happen. So are there any initial questions from maybe some of the reading you might have taken a look at?
To me, I mean, I asked the question earlier about participation rates.
Yes.
And if I look at this, in some of the major sports, it appears participation rates have gone up because football, like seventh grade, the cost went down. The cost went down across the country in seventh and eighth grade. The, I think I saw wrestling here went down. And again, I'm picking out sports that maybe I'm going to pay attention to. But nonetheless, well, I mean, I think those are ones that looks like there's been a good impact.
And well, I can tell you that just if, you know, and what I did was a study here at the end of May, Mike. I thought I'd handed this out in a board update, but I wanted to reiterate because that might have been my first swipe at this back in maybe late April. So these numbers that I passed out to the board here are year-end numbers with regards to participation. What I tried to do is I tried to show the, you know, comparable 16-17 and 15-16 school years to this most recent school year that we just finished up. So, you know, specifically speaking, I mean, wrestling was, you know, down 3.
How did the rates, how did the cost come?
Well, and that's why I asked, because here, I mean, that's why we'll get right into it and kind of explain. The transportation costs more than doubled since last year, and pay to participate adjusted to allow for student participation. So what that tells me is, it looks like wrestling in particular, and we're charging $390. The actual cost for wrestling is about $437, actually. So we tried to keep it at or below cost, or, you know, in some cases you had, you know, I think what Cindy and I were most tentative towards is making sure that we didn't outprice the sport. So that's why there's really, in that case, Mike, there's probably no rhyme or reason as to why that happened other than just trying to keep the, you know, put a little governor on the cost, if you will, just so we're not penalizing any one particular sport.
But
yes?
I guess I'm a little bit concerned, and maybe you can fill me in, but I feel like that was one of the selling points for that levy last May was to reduce the pay to participate fees that these students had to pay.
Sure.
It's like we did it for 1 year and now we're going back.
Well, we're definitely not going back to where we were, and this is just more of a cost of living adjustment or transfer.
Okay.
So that's, it really is not, you know, 10 or 20 bucks is different than 300.
Okay.
We literally
so
slashed
still,
them in
it's
half.
Still lower than before that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So initially when this kicked in, there was a lot of confusion because people said the exact same thing that you did, that wait a minute, you know, it's not 50%, but it's not. I mean, it's not a pure thing, and it fluctuates year to year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say too. So, because some people get, you know, we're pushing back because you can see based on the activity you're in, you could receive a different kind of result. And but what I would say is that the, you know, the commitment that the board made was implemented, which is it is 50% of the fee with a cap in place. And that is, that hasn't changed. That's being applied the same way. But what you do have is with the newer labor agreement, there are 2% raises each year. So you have people, you have escalation in salaries, which is one of the factors that feed into the participation fee. So transportation and coaches or advisors compensation goes into that. So even though in some cases it, and participation rates, right? Because if you have less kids, then you've got to share more of them, have to share the burden. So depending on all those factors, you know, what could happen is somebody could say, okay, after this went in, my rate didn't go down. Well, the formula was applied. So what it really means is that whatever you're paying, had we not put that in place, you would have paid a lot more.
Okay.
it just doesn't seem like it for in some certain cases, because people were like, oh, wait a minute, I paid this much last year and I'm paying about the same this year. I thought they were supposed to go down, and in fact they did. You would have paid even more. So the application of the shared participation fee has been applied consistently with when that change went in, as yeah. well as the caps.
And actually, yeah, no, it's a great question you raise. And not to keep talking about gymnastics, but you know, being the fact that the actual cost, and we did cap it, and it only went up $5. So that was the increase from year over year. And if I point your attention towards middle school, we actually saw costs go down because of participation rates. Mike, I think you mentioned seventh grade football. I don't have the seventh grade football, I don't think, on the, I didn't have, I think I only had high school sports on this board. But I can tell you that, for example, 7th and 8th grade football went from 190 to 165. So they actually decreased, as well as cross country, cheerleading, all of those fees went down.
It
so
it looks like at least at the lower levels, at
right.
least we spread the money differently, which I'm assuming means higher participation.
Do you have copies of this? Do you guys have? Would you like to see it?
I mean, I have.
I'll say, though, I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed that in a lot of cases we don't see a bigger pickup on some of these things, because our theory had been that some of our pay-to-play rates were depressing, you know, our participation, but it doesn't...
I don't know what that, but you see, I don't...
There's some fewer students, but it's the fact that we're negative on just about everything. Again, it's just an observation. Kids are going to do what they're going to do.
Well, and it's the assumption that it was actually the money that was, I mean,
exactly. No,
and,
you're right.
And we could never put our finger on it. So
right.
we talked to Jeff, you know, now we need to watch this and mm-hmm. see, because there was a large assumption that believed that it was the cost that was, you know, something that was inhibiting people.
Well, and I'm not, I mean, if you look at the very last page on the absolute totals, right, 15-16 was total participation 2,043. Then in 16-17 it went down to 1,989, and then this past year it went up to 2,004. So there was a slight tick up, and I'm assuming student, and we know the enrollment is declining. So as a percentage of total student body, I would say we are trending up, not down or flat. We're
yeah,
trending a little bit up.
And I'll tell you the robotics club and biology, I mean, you know, there were, on the flip side, the old standards, you know, the footballs, the baseballs, the wrestlings, I mean, you know, the clubs are actually, I think we saw the, you know, robotics and biology were brand new this year. And so we didn't have a pay to participate to compare. So those were, I mean, there's, you know.
So they're not in that difference?
No, well, they're in there, but they, I mean, there's really, I mean, it's
okay,
kind of.
Okay, so we're down on everything else. It's just
right.
That those are what our increase are.
I mean, it was so, you know, not to help skew the numbers, but I mean, it's not a median, but it's kind of like they actually helped the overall participation rate because of the, you know, I'd say the feverish robotics just really took off in this district this last year. And so that really helped overall.
In a lot of cases, the transportation cost has doubled or gone up. Is there a reason for why the cost of gone up so high?
Well, I hate to turn to my friend to the left and pick on Chris, because that would be probably more his speed. But, you know, Chris, not to put you on the spot, but anything in particular that jumps out on transportation?
Well, and I don't know in this specific case, but usually it's because it's where they're traveling.
Yeah.
And our and
okay, so if they're going more places or further away, that's a cost driver.
Well, I was just curious. From, you know, one year to the next, huge increase in transportation costs more than doubled, transportation costs nearly doubled, transportation costs more than doubled. Have we changed conferences or something?
2 years ago, though. Wasn't that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was supposed to bring transportation down, because the new conference, that the this districts in the conference are closer than what they used to be.
In Avon Lake.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a reference point, honestly, Fred, but, you know, I'd have to really, really dive in and
well, I was just curious.
Break it out. But no, it's a great question.
Recall last year we did adjust the field trip rates. So if we're applying the field trip rates to our calculator, and we adjusted them based on contracts, and really we're now more in line with what others charge per field trip. So our field trip rates went up 20% last year.
Yeah.
Do we know how many students hit the cap? Because really, once you hit the cap, then it's everything's free in essence. You can do what you want, as opposed
right.
to people that are under the cap and don't want to do another, may not do a second activity or a third because.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers, but I'm sure we can find out.
Okay.
How many hit the cap?
I think like these metrics are good, but maybe adding to that, like how many capped out, and maybe what's the student enrollment and what's the percentage, because that gives a truer picture on where the trend lines are going.
I know Cindy did have a calculation that showed since the May. The May levy and the decrease in participation fees. I think she actually had a number assigned to the amount that it cost the district, just to kind of get an idea, just for conversation of how
right.
much it actually cost the district.
What the
and
board's
I think it was
cost
like,
is on the
right.
Part, yeah.
I want to say it was between 11 and 12,000. So again, it wasn't astronomical. But again, I'd be happy to put that back in there as well. Great. Any other questions? And of course, if there are, just let me know. I'm happy to dig in and do some more analysis on this because it is quite interesting, among other things. Great. Well, I'm going to move into the fiscal year 18 amended appropriations measure. Basically, the appropriation resolution that you're agreeing to or looking at or for your consideration this evening for fiscal year 18 is basically prescribed by the state auditor and Ohio Revised Code that basically prescribes that the total appropriations or spending budgets cannot exceed the total estimated receipts or expected revenue by fund level as shown in the latest certificate of estimated resources, which is really prepared by the Cuyahoga County Budget Commission. So really what happened, if you look at the top line in the FY18 appropriations, $47,638,359, that was the actual amount that you approved back June 26th of last year. So that general fund did not change. And so, that's actually a good sign. It did not increase. For the most part, folks, throughout the year, since November, December, I've been, this is really a compilation of the changes we've made, and really the major changes came in the federal funds and the auxiliary funds changes. This year we did see Lawrence School as well as South Suburban Montessori go on their own, and we had appropriated I think about $401,000 if I recall a year ago, so that is a change. And so that was probably one of the biggest ones that jumped out at me, but we also had some Fed funds that increased their amounts. So any time a federal fund, a Title I or a Title III or whatever we happen to engage, happens to increase, we have to appropriate. And that was actually back in the December meeting after we found out what the federal grants were increasing. So that was a benefit to us. And so we did that back throughout the year. You've seen me include in my consent agenda some changes. So really what you're seeing here in the fiscal year 18 is a compilation of a whole years of changes, and I'm just pointing out where those changes basically occurred was in the grant funds for the most part.
What do you mean they went on their own? They privatized?
Well, I don't know if they privatized. They just didn't need us as their fiscal agent anymore. So we no longer had to. We're only doing
so
really.
So the funds aren't flowing through.
Correct.
Us, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Assumption is our loan fiscal. We're the loan fiscal agent for Assumption now.
Okay. So they're still charter schools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Got it.
So that's FY18. Rounding out this week, we're actually working on closing out the year, the fiscal year, and we're looking forward to the FY19 and getting busy. Moving on to the FY19 appropriation resolution. And I'm basically seeking your approval of this is really a temporary fiscal year 19 appropriation resolution. The reason for temporary is because I believe Rick used to do, he knew his permanent budget was done in, you know, third week in June. And, you know, I don't think I'm quite there yet because I think I need to know a bit more about the district to know to set all of my budgets at this point. And it's always, you know, I don't care if they call it temporary or permanent. It's really, you know, can always be changed with the vote of a board. And that's really, this document does ebb and flow throughout the years, as you've seen. So the difference between a temporary and permanent is really, there really is no difference. Except to say, I want to tell you where I received these numbers on really the page that describes the $48,882,000 even number came right from my forecast. Okay, so that was the amount of expenditures. So I'm trying to tie this into the forecast. So the temporary measure will allow us to really keep budgets as going. I mean, I did have a question this morning in cabinet about, and it was a great question, is, well, what happens when we put all those POs that we were kind of getting ready for the new school year? Business as usual. Basically, what this does is it buys us to October 1st. You know, buying us time sounds like a pretty, you know, it sounds like a negative. It really doesn't. It just allows me to use these temporary numbers because we're not going to spend $48 million. I mean, this just gives us a good couple, 3 months to really get into not only building budgets but also departmental budgets and be as a bit more precise than just setting a budget and, you know, being a line item and saying, here's your budget. Have a wonderful year, and we'll, you know. What I pledged to Joelle back first week in August last year is to at least be open-minded about working with, you know, each building and each department on potential changes and maybe utilizing those funds that aren't needed one place, maybe using them somewhere else. Well, with the building project we got in hand, we weren't quite there yet last August 3rd and 4th. You know, what I've pledged to everybody is just let's just keep their budgets. Let's just assume the budgets haven't changed. Let's keep your budget from last year and give me a little time to really evaluate and be, you know, the treasurer that I you know, pledge to be when it comes to these budgetary and appropriations measures. So that's the numbers I also received here are actually input in the FY19 temporary. Really came from our alternate tax budget. That was approved, that you approved back in January for fiscal year 19. So I didn't just pull these numbers out of the air. These came from our alternate tax budget for FY19. Questions? There's a lot to it.
I had a question that was a little bit off topic, but still in your area.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if you had gotten any final numbers on, and I'm assuming the window is closed for everybody, all of our classified staff to choose the salary schedule that they were going to be on. Is that window still open, or is it still
certified or classified?
I'm sorry, certified.
Yeah, certified is. I mean, those are all in. We had approximately, I think it was 74%. Selected Schedule B.
Schedule B, okay.
Yeah, 73 or 74, so
okay.
Don't hurt me on that 1%.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I didn't recall it. Maybe you sent that out and I missed it, but I didn't recall it there. I know you were talking about that, you know, you'll get final numbers, but...
I will, and actually that'll be forthcoming in the next meeting. I actually have that if appropriations and hadn't jumped in ahead of it. But no, that'll actually be a very hot topic. It's sitting right in front of me. I know what I need to do. We have, but for the most part, there was a good response.
Great.
Great. Okay. Well, if there's no further questions, I'll move right into the monthly report. And of course, if there are questions afterwards, I am always available. So, move right into the monthly report for the month of May. Got one more month left, but this is really the first month of the May forecast update. Nothing too outrageous. The first two pages are identical because we're only 1 month into the new forecast period. On the revenue side of things, the variance that really jumps off the page. FYI, I'll just say special ed tuition. It was about 18,000 above forecast. But FY19 all-day kindergarten prepayments of about 6,500. Actually, that's what moved the needle a little bit. And we had a dance company come in and rent something. So that was another 5,000. So if you really want to get in the weeds, that's what comprised the majority of that $34,000 variance as opposed to last year. On the one thing I do want to make note on all in line 2.06 for all other oh, you know what? Kathleen, I'm surprised you didn't hurt me here. I got to put this on the board. And I say that with all endearing. Hurt me was probably sorry.
It's a little
it's off. It is. Yeah. Tell me I need to put my thing on the board. There it is. Okay, good. So the if you talk about all other financing sources, 2.06, that's our participation in the Bureau Workman's Comp Retro Reimbursement Program. The reason why you don't see an estimate in the forecast is because sometimes that's just the most difficult, impossible thing to forecast. But it's always a nice chunk of change to get in the mail because the Bureau of Workman's Comp, and plus we're really on the right side of Bureau of Workman's Comp, so I commend, I know Chris just probably stepped out, but I know his effort and keeping me informed and working closely with him to talk about this program. I'm actually having lunch again with the Bureau, our consultant that works with the BWC. From KKSG, I believe is the name of the firm. But I'm having lunch with him, or actually just coffee with him to stay front and center. That number is, again, is almost impossible to forecast, but nonetheless, we're expecting another big chunk. If you recall last year, I don't expect you to remember, but we had about 177,000 that came in July, I believe it was, that really kind of sat there the whole year, and it was something we didn't expect. It wasn't forecasted. I think we're expecting maybe 194,000 this coming year, not including the number that's in here. So again, a nice program that you can't say that this is going to be long term, but we'll take it while we can.
But whose money is it?
It is ours.
It's our money.
There you go. So it's just coming back to us, Mike. Yeah. So it's a good sign.
Interest free loan.
Exactly. So that's that. But on the expense side. Again, something that's still forecasted a little above what the actual numbers were when it comes to personnel services and payroll. Again, that's going to be the biggest hot button for us all when we're going into the October forecast because, we'll all know numbers this summer. We're going to talk about it probably this summer to talk about what's, to Mark's point a few minutes ago, is, what are those new salary schedules going to look like and what's that number going to be? So that'll come into focus over the next 30 to 60 days, and it'll be a hot topic. Purchase services, I believe professional services, and which is really our contract with Renhill, and also special education, transportation services were higher than expected, and we had a gas and water bill that April that was paid in May. So those are the numbers that move that. And then down below, you had some timing of some tax collection fees for another, positive variance, actually. Overall, we had a positive variance about $260,000. So, again, we're on the right side of the equator. I will point out, just because we've been talking about, this is something that's going to be discussed down the road, but if you look at the, I thought I put page numbers on here, so please forgive me. But a couple pages back, you'll see it says financial summary, upper right-hand corner. I'll put it actually right on the screen here. There it is. Looks like that. But basically, it says financial summary. Third column from the right, bond retirement. This is just something I want to bring to the board's attention because this will be a big topic, I think, with our conversation with the folks from Moody, is the fact, and with county fiscal, honestly. This is so we have right now, as it stands, about $4.1 million sitting in our bond retirement. We owe about $2 million about every December on our existing debt. But that is a number that, again, we're in the second half collection. We'll probably be right back there around $4 million in bond retirement. So, again, that's a pretty healthy number for us. That's a good thing to help us retire our existing debt as early as possible. So expect that to be, again, some more stuff that we'll be discussing down the road. And then, we've also got about $1.5 million in permanent improvement. that you know, sits there as well. But again, unrelated to our particular bond issue and our new building. But just wanted to point those out because I thought those were worth talking about, and it's something we should be aware of. And if someone asks you, hey, what's in your bond retirement and how are you going to retire that debt sooner than later? Well, right there's the number, and that's what's going to help us. So I just wanted to point that out. Any additional questions about the monthly report?
Roll call.
Great. Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes, and passes 5-0. May I have a motion to enter into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. You will now be in executive session. Thank you for attending.
Turn off on my TV.